This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Iraq's leading Shiite Muslim cleric wants Iraqi experts, and not just those from the United Nations, to conclude that early elections are not feasible before he will drop his opposition to the U.S. political blueprint for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Husseini al-Sistani also is adamant that the U.S.-led occupation must meet a July 1st deadline to hand over sovereignty to an Iraqi government, according to his aide. If the UN and Iraqi experts conclude elections could not be held before July 1st, al-Sistani wants them to come up with other ways to make the transitional legislature as representative of the Iraqi people as possible. Democratic presidential contenders attacked George W. Bush's policies with gusto Thursday night in the final debate before the New Hampshire primary, each one claiming the credentials needed to lead the party back into the White House. I look forward to that fight, said Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, whose victory in this week's Iowa caucuses has vaulted him into first place in the polls in the nation's first primary state as well. In a debate far more polite than earlier encounters, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean trumpeted his record as a state budget balancer, while Joe Lieberman said Bush had recently identified him in a private conversation as the Democrat he was most worried about. Senator John Edwards recounted how he defeated a Republican incumbent to win his seat in 1998, and retired General Wesley Clark strongly defended his Democratic credentials. Representative Dennis Kucinich and Al Sharpton also raided spots on the debate stage at St. Anselm College, but the stage held two less candidates due to the departure of Carol Mosley Braun and Representative Dick Gephardt. Members of Congress and 10 ex-CIA officials are seeking a broader inquiry into the leak of an undercover officer's name, aiming to determine if U.S. national security was compromised and to discourage future leaks. In addition, a leading Democratic critic of the Justice Department investigation into the matter says the Bush administration should release details of the probe to show the public whether officials are cooperating as George W. Bush promised. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Authorities in Broward County say a teenager trying to rob a convenience store was thwarted when he tried to load the rifle with the wrong size bullets. Deputies say the 16-year-old stormed into a 7-Eleven in Dania Beach and pointed his rifle at the store clerk, but a customer tackled the teen after seeing him try to jam 40-caliber bullets into the 22-caliber rifle. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
What hue are you? Red is out. Red is so yesterday. Blue is in. If you're not sporting blue, you're simply not cool. Just when you thought that surely American politics could not become more trivial, more devoid of substance, more removed from anything that matters, along comes a gaggle of political consultants and fashion mavens to take us deeper into the void. The issue here is ties. Not political ties, but the ties that politicians wear around their necks. Yes, we're talking about strips of cloth, preferably silk. Perhaps you thought that a candidate's principles or character or stand on issue should be the important thing in politics, but that just shows how out of it you are. The issue is neckwear. Not very long ago, all of the power players strutted their stuff with bold red ties. Power ties, they were called, for, like a rooster's coxcomb, they supposedly conveyed to us riffraff that the wearer thereof was a man in charge and on the move. But now, red has faded, and the trend spotters have decreed that blue is the new hue of your elite male strutters. George W. has helped lead the way on this important matter. Other political figures have been wearing navy blue ties, but Bush has broken the mold and broken out in lighter, brighter hues, ranging from periwinkle to baby blue. Following his daring leadership, you now see Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Gore, Tony Blair, and so many more politicos imitating our periwinkle president in their choice of ties. Why? The consultants say that we riffraff aren't seeking boldness these days, but security. Hence, blue. A color consultant says, the human mind connects blue with elements of nature that never go away, the sky and sea. It's the color that invokes feelings of loyalty, steadfastness, constance. This is Jim Hightower saying, so forget issues, principles, and all that stuff. Just keep your eyes on the tides.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces the phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the I'm talking so funny. I had mouth surgery again today. Oh, geez. I have a scaffolding, it feels like, inside my mouth. I'm sorry. It was either that or not show up for work tonight. I hope you'll bear with me. Plus, the OxyContin have just made me so happy. If you'd like to email during the program, MikeBMalloy@earthlink.net. No OxyContin. All they gave me was, what is it? Advil. That's right. My surgeon said, well, if you were Rush Limbaugh, we could handle it, but you're not. Tonight, as you're listening to the program, if you hear weird sounds coming out of my mouth, I'm sorry. It's just it's a result of it's par for the course. I mean, why is tonight any different? Oh God, yeah, I do. I feel like the Howard Dean of talk radio. I just am. There's no question about it. A little bit of somber, sad news here. I'm sure you've heard about it. Bob Keeshan, Captain Kangaroo, a Marine Corps veteran, died today at age 76, which the older I get, that number seems awfully young. You know what I'm saying? Bob Keeshan, I'm sure most of you know. Well, I don't know the ages of talk radio audience anymore. A lot of people may not know Bob Keeshan, Captain Kangaroo. I think he went off. He started on television in 1955. I think he went off sometime in the 70s. But Bob Keeshan died at age 76 last night, I guess, or was it today? He came on the air when I was 13, and I can remember as a kid getting up in the morning in Toledo, Ohio, to get ready to go to school with my two brothers and sister, and hearing that familiar music, I know I'm not doing it right, but and I'm not embarrassed to say that you know, the characters Bunny Rabbit, Mr. Moose, Mr. Green Jeans, remember all that? Captain Kangaroo, who at one time was a Clarabel on Howdy Doody. That was a program that used to make me insane as a child. I could never figure all that honking. And every time Clarabel was supposed to talk, it would just be honking. When I found out years later, the irony here for me is 25 years ago, when after Bob Keeshan had retired, he was touring, I guess, for a book, and he came through Atlanta, and I was working for a weekly newspaper, and interviewed him at in the lobby of a television studio here in Atlanta, where he was about to make a noontime appearance, and they said, "Yeah, you can have 20 minutes." And I did a column on him. I wrote about him, and to sit there across from someone that was amazingly omnipresent in your childhood. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but to me it was just unbelievable. Bob Keeshan, dead at 76. Captain Kangaroo. I hate that. I just hate it. But on tonight's program, how many times can Too Stupid to Eat a Pretzel reference September 11th, 2001, in a single speech? You'll find out tonight, a little bit later in the program. I will be gone Monday, back Tuesday night for live coverage of the New Hampshire primary results. So what are they doing Monday night? A rebroadcast of a Tom Hartman program. Oh, that's the guy that's stolen all of our bumper music, right? Yeah, right. Well, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Or, no, flattery. No. What is it? Imitation is the greatest form? What the hell? From our Leesville, South Carolina bureau chief, Steve. I didn't know we had a Leesville, South Carolina, but here it is right here. He writes in, "Mike, I'm terrified. I fear for our country because our future has now been spelled out in the stars. With the beginning of the Chinese New Year, we have now entered the year of the monkey." Well, I share your concern, Steve. Of course, this happens every 12 years. Last time we were in the year of the monkey was, what, 1992? Is that right? I don't know. I share your concern. Michael Moore has answered the snot asses, the smart asses who have challenged him and General Clark after Peter Jennings' statement the other night in New Hampshire, referring to Michael Moore's. Well, let me get it straight here. In the presidential debate in New Hampshire that was carried on Fox News and Nightline the day before yesterday, Peter Jennings went after Wesley Clark and Michael Moore because Michael Moore said he wanted to see Clark debate Bush, and he refers to it as the general and the deserter. If you're listening to this program, it means you already know about Bush's spotty, cowardly, treasonous. I don't know. Is it treason when you desert in a time of war? I have no idea. But, of course, that wasn't a war. Vietnam was not a declared war, was it? Anyway, if you're listening to this program, you know about Bush's so-called military record and the fact that he, when he had enough, he said screw it, and he left the military with nobody getting nobody's permission. He is a deserter by definition. Peter Jennings referred to Michael Moore as the controversial filmmaker. Don't you just love that? The controversial filmmaker. Oh, okay, Peter. And Peter Jennings asked if General Clark wanted to distance himself from Michael Moore and his reckless remark about Bush being a deserter. Clark didn't back down. Clark stated how delighted he was with Michael Moore's support and so on and so on and so on. Now, as Michael Moore writes, the pundits immediately went berserk after the debate. And they should, because they know that they and much of mainstream media has ignored the Bush AWL story when it was first revealed by an investigation in the Boston Globe, for Christ's sake, in 2000. I mean, this is not new stuff, right? The Globe said it appeared that Bush skipped out in the middle of his Texas Air National Guard service. No charges were ever brought against him. It was a damning story. And Bush has never provided any documents or evidence to refute the Globe's charge. He doesn't even acknowledge it. But that's what these Republicans do. When they are caught, it's either Clinton's fault or in the pig man, Rush Limbaugh's addled brain, it's the Democrats' fault or a conspiracy or they're lying or Jesus went to sleep or the terrorists are after us. This is the way Republicans act and respond. The facts are Bush was missing for at least a 12-month period. That's a fact. Now, if I did that and I were in the military, or you did that and you were in the military, you're asked to go to the brig, or worse. Or worse. Senator Daniel Inouye, a Democrat of Hawaii, World War II veteran and amputee, joined with Vietnam vets Max Cleland, triple amputee, and Senator Bob Kerry to challenge George Bush on the gaps in his military record. This was a couple of years ago. Daniel Inouye said, quote, "The question is, where were you, Governor Bush? What would you do as commander-in-chief if someone in the National Guard did the same thing? At the least, I would have been court-martialed. At the least, I would have been placed in prison," Inouye said. This is back when George was running for president. Now, nobody, you know, there were a couple. Washington Post, New Republic, a couple of media outlets presented evidence of this coward's desertion from his little Texas Air National Guard hidey hole that he had when people of much stronger character and were dying and killing in Vietnam. I'm not defending the war in Vietnam at all. As a matter of fact, I think it was horrifying. But Bush, George W. Bush, who has no problem racking up dead bodies in Iraq, what's up to now, 508? He has no problem with that, but when it was his turn, like all of these Republican leaders, when it was there, with the exception of McCain, when it was their turn to go bomb and kill and possibly be killed, oh no, they had something else to do. Whether it was Jack Kemp or Wolfowitz or Cheney or Bush or any of these thugs, they had something else to do. TomPaine.com has the most comprehensive piece on this story if you want to check it out. But it's just astonishing to me that these weasels in media, and especially Peter Jennings. Peter, I swear to God, you oh, to hell with it. To hell with it. UPI is reporting that a German newspaper, Die Welt, is reporting, that newspaper is reporting that Osama bin Laden has been captured. The newspaper on its website cites unconfirmed reports as the basis for its report that bin Laden has been captured and he's being held until it is politically advantageous for the Bush administration to produce him. Now, do you believe that? Yeah. And the pig man. Oh, my God. I have the letters. You can go to thesmokinggun.com. Is that where these letters are? I think it is. Smokinggun.com. Yeah. And find the Rush letters. You can see the letter. Now, Limbaugh was offered a deal. His attorney was offered a deal. I'm sorry. His attorney tried to cop a plea with the prosecutors in Palm Beach County, and the prosecutors turned the whole thing down. Apparently, they have enough evidence, or think they have enough evidence, to charge this hypocritical slug with 12 felonies. 12 felonies. The prosecutors rejected an overture last month from Limbaugh's attorneys that would have allowed the pig man to enter drug rehab again rather than face criminal charges for drug abuse. Let me share it with you when we come back. Quick break here, and we'll be right back. And again, I apologize for the way I sound, but that guy, surgeon, got in there today and just cut and hacked and whacked. Of course, like Bush, Rush is another one who avoided service. What was Rush's excuse? Oh, that's right, a pimple on his ass. Yeah, that's right.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Cats behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot fight a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
But you can run and hide in Alabama. You can do that. Mike in Orlando says the UPI story on bin Laden has already been exposed as a hoax. Okay, well, I'd yes, of course. Limbaugh. How about this guy, huh? He's a co-conspirator in a drug enterprise in South Florida. Now, again, I have to say that I am of the left libertarian point of view that drugs should be legal. But I don't know about these narcotics that people need to handle pain. I'm talking about marijuana and hashish and, you know, stuff like that. LSD, whatever. I don't think people should go to prison for that, for using drugs. I really don't. As far as juicing the system to get your drugs, like Limbaugh did. As far as putting other people at risk, like Limbaugh did, that's a different story, right? So he's, you know, let's say, I know he's innocent until proven guilty. Oh, bull. No, they never granted that to anybody in the Clinton administration. This son of a bitch is as guilty as you can be. Not only was he an illegal drug user, it was a doctor shopping. He set other people up to get his drugs, money laundering, all sorts of things. The man is a criminal. Not only is he a criminal, he's a liar and a hypocrite, and he's afraid to... he's afraid to pay the piper now, right? So anyway, last month, prosecutors got a letter from Limbaugh's attorney. And it said, it was from Roy Black, and it says, blah, 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 blah. When we first met on this matter, referring to the prosecutors, Mr. Krischer, who's the prosecutor, told me specifically that the policy is not to prosecute addicts, users of illegal controlled substances, but to go after the doctors who prescribe them illegally and the pushers on the street. The lawyer says it's certainly clear by now that Rush Limbaugh was addicted to prescription pain medication. Blah, 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 blah. He has admitted as much on his radio show. Not only that, but he voluntarily checked himself into the nation's finest drug rehab centers. Yeah, when he was about to be busted. He's followed his rehab with almost daily sessions with his own psychologist, following up on the treatment he received at the center. The letter goes on, because he has admitted he was an addict and sought extensive help for it, I believe the just resolution of this matter would be a referral to a pretrial diversion program, which would require him to continue his addiction treatment. Mr. Limbaugh would continue to receive treatment for his addiction and be monitored by a professional in this field. I believe this proposal would be in keeping with the public's interest. The public is better served by treating addicts as patients rather than criminals. Oh, really, Roy? That's not what your drug-using criminal client has said in the past. All right, so here's Roy Black doing what Roy Black is supposed to do. Let's face it, you know, I have no bone to pick with Roy Black. That's what he's supposed to do. Most criminal defense attorneys are to try to get the best deal for their criminal clients. The state's attorney responded this way, dear Mr. Black, I received your letter, blah, blah, blah. We believe this case can be settled without a trial. A fair settlement that serves the interest of justice would include the following. Mr. Limbaugh would plead guilty to a single count of violation of Florida statute, blah, 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 commonly referred to as doctor shopping, a third-degree felony. 2. Mr. Limbaugh would be placed on 3 years probation with associated and customary costs and fees and investigative costs. 3. Mr. Limbaugh would continue his participation in a drug treatment program approved by the court. 4. Mr. Limbaugh would submit to random drug tests. Wouldn't that be funny? Rush, time to piss in the bottle. 5. Mr. Limbaugh would provide community service. 6. In that Mr. Limbaugh has no prior criminal record, we would agree that the court, withhold adjudication, as long as Limbaugh does not violate the conditions of his probation. Well, that was turned down by Rush's criminal defense attorney, and you can certainly understand why, right?
Taking all my pills, but I'm still not sleepy. Tried to trick myself into thinking that I'm not awake.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A tiny creature on the bottom of the Great Lakes is disappearing, and so are some of the fish that eat it. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have noticed that a small shrimp-like organism on the bottom of the Great Lakes has been increasingly hard to find during the past 10 years. The consequences of that decline are starting to appear among the fish that eat the little critter. The creature is known as Diporia. Tom Nalepa says some fish in the Great Lakes are getting thinner and fewer because the numbers of Diporia have gotten so low.
When they're declining down to zero, I think that you can see where it would have some impact on the fish.
Nalepa is a research biologist with the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. He says Diporia are a high-calorie, high-energy food for fish, and he says some fish are suffering as this source of energy grows more scarce. He says some commercial fishermen report that whitefish in the Great Lakes look increasingly scrawny, and he says that appears to be hurting the overall numbers of fish in some places.
Populations are going down. In Lake Ontario, where the Diporia decline is much more advanced than in other places of the Great Lakes, such as in Lake Michigan or in Lake Huron, those whitefish populations are basically crashing down to zero. There's very little recruitment of new or young ones in the population. So not only are we dealing with scrawnier fish, but the fish aren't there anymore.
Nalepa and his colleagues are not sure exactly why the Diporia are disappearing. Some people suspect it's connected to the invasion of the Great Lakes by zebra mussels. Zebra mussels eat a lot of the food that Diporia feed on, and that might be the reason the native Diporia is disappearing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Tortoise.
Zebra.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is my private life. I've got no friends to fear.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
If you can find me, come get me out of here.
27 before the hour. Quintus sent this in. Mike, in light of all the Dean news Thursday, the New Hampshire debate, Diane Sawyer interview, David Letterman, and so on, and other factors, the candidates having rallies and town hall meetings all around the state of New Hampshire, polls will be very unreliable and not signal much until possibly Sunday or Monday. Also, as a New Hampshire resident, I know there's a lot here that is volatile. There are a lot of people who classify themselves as independent. This is a less liberal group and participate in the Iowa caucuses. And on election day, you can switch your party registration as you enter the polls and change it again as you walk out. For example, my party registration is currently undeclared, with quotes around it. And I will register Democrat on the spot to vote in the primary and vote for Dean. I can't emphasize enough how uncertain it is here right now. Quintus. Okay. Couple more items, and then we're coming to your phone calls. The David Kay, how about this guy, huh? Bush's pick to find those badass weapons in Iraq. David Kay, it says here, Reuters reports, David Kay, who stepped down as a leader of the U.S. hunt for weapons of mass destruction, said today he doesn't believe there were any
stockpiles of chemical or biological weapons in Iraq. He said, quote, I don't think they existed. He went on to say, what everyone was talking about is stockpiles produced after the end of the last Gulf War in 1991. And I don't think there was a large-scale production program in the 90s, he said. David Kay said he believes most of what is going to be found in the search for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq has been found, and that the hunt will become even more difficult once America turns over governing the country to the Iraqis. Jesus, hello, why isn't this a lead story? Charles emails in, isn't Kay's admission a bombshell? Will Cheney, who has not set foot in Iraq, continue to insist that weapons of mass destruction exist? Well, Charles, and anybody else who's the least bit interested, yeah, in a sane society that was that had determined that it was being run by psychopaths, yes, this would be big news. But we're not sane in America. We're crazy. We're just gibbering crazy, I think, aren't we? I mean, David Kay. The guy who said, yeah, we're going to go find those. Oh, damn, don't do that. David Kay, the guy who said, yeah, we're going to go find those weapons of mass destruction. And now he says there's nothing there. Nothing. Nothing. I wonder if they will, if Cheney will call Bob Novak and say, Bob, listen, there's something you need to know about David Kay's grandmammy. She used to be a hooker in New Orleans. Get that out, will you? Okay, thanks. God. Now, before we Democrats, not before, we Democrats, those of us with the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk, have been talking about this since before the war began, that there are no weapons there. But what about the Democrats? What about the Democratic presidential candidates, or would-bes, huh? The wannabes. The Institute for Public Accuracy has an interesting little page they put out today. They say, while many have called on Bush to offer an explanation for his false claims about Iraq possessing WMDs, several Democratic presidential candidates have made similar claims. Here are candidate statements made before the occupation of Iraq. Now, as I share these with you, and they're very brief, remember, these guys were going on what their exalted leader, our exalted leader, was telling us. Does that absolve them, people like Kerry and Clark and Dean and Lieberman? Does it absolve them from finding out the truth? I don't know. You tell me. Here's what John Kerry said, October 9th, 2002. Quote, why is Saddam Hussein attempting to develop nuclear weapons when most nations don't even try? And according to intelligence, Iraq has chemical and biological weapons. Iraq is developing unmanned aerial vehicles capable of delivering chemical and biological warfare agents. Okay, that was John Kerry, October 9, 2002. Here's Wesley Clark, April 2nd, 2003. Excuse me. Saddam Hussein does have weapons of mass destruction. And somebody says, can you say that categorically? Clark responded, absolutely. That was on CNN, January 18th, 2003. On finding the alleged weapons, Clark said, I think they'll be found. There's so much intelligence on this. That was a couple of months later. Howard Dean. He said, I and others have never been in doubt about the evil of Saddam Hussein or the necessity of removing his weapons of mass destruction. That was March 17, 2003. Joe Lieberman, on August 4, 2002. Every day Saddam remains in power with chemical weapons, biological weapons, and the development of nuclear weapons is a day of danger for the United States. John Edwards. On October 10th, 2002, we know that Saddam Hussein has chemical and biological weapons. Now, in contrast, Dennis Kucinich, September 12th, 2002. Since 1998, no credible intelligence has been brought forward which suggests that Iraq is manufacturing weapons of mass destruction. Al Sharpton, January 31st, 2003. I think that the present administration is bent on war. There has been no evidence, in my judgment, presented that there are any weapons of mass destruction. Dennis Kucinich, Al Sharpton. Now, why do you suppose Kerry, Clark, Dean, Lieberman, and Edwards all insisted that there were weapons of mass destruction, and Kucinich and Sharpton said just the opposite? I'm not going to draw any conclusions for you or even for myself. What do you say? I'd like to hear your comment on this. Why did Edwards, Lieberman, Dean, Clark, and Kerry all buy into it? Kucinich and Sharpton didn't. Has to be a reason. I don't know what it is. Now, Sam Husseini, who is the communications director for the Institute for Public Accuracy, said today, in response to the other night's State of the Union address, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi said that Bush, quote, led us into the war, Iraq war, on the basis of unproven assertions, end quote. Now, Nancy Pelosi didn't say what action she would take. And as Sam Husseini writes, perhaps that's because she had claimed, quote, Saddam Hussein certainly has chemical and biological weapons. There's no question about it. That was November 17, 2002. Husseini says, when I asked her about this last week, she declined to even acknowledge that her statement had been false. And then Sam writes, many Democrats are refusing to be held accountable. This is further restricting them from holding Bush accountable. They should admit and explain their own false statements. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Why doesn't John Kerry and Wesley Clark and Howard Dean and Joe Lieberman and John Edwards, why don't they step out now and say, look, yes, we all said this, and we believed it. Just like the American public did. And what do we base it on? We based it on the lies and deceptions of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell. Why won't these Democratic candidates do that? Why won't they immediately step on the moral high ground? See, once again, Bart Kopp, I keep thinking about Bart Kopp. Bart Kopp is constantly talking about the pink tutu Democrats, these cowards who won't do it. Now, Bart Kopp is backing Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark is right in this group who bought into it. Why don't they step out now? Howard Dean and Lieberman and Clark and Kerry and Edwards, why don't they? Huh? Why don't they, truth seeker? Why don't they get together as Democrats and issue a joint statement? We the undersigned. Yeah, we bought into it, just like the rest of America. Look how these bastards in the White House lied. Look how they lied. And Edwards and Lieberman can say, and Kerry can say, we're senators. And Clark can say, I was the former Supreme Allied Commander. And Dean can say, I was the governor. And we bought into it. Why don't they do that? Anybody got any ideas on that one? Huh? Anybody got any ideas on that one at all? It's one thing to stand there like the Democrats are doing. And why doesn't Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, why doesn't she issue? Why doesn't she get in on this too? Why doesn't Gephardt? Why don't all of them? And say, yeah, we believed it. We bought into it. Because we had been lied to. Why don't they do that? Can anybody answer that for me? Honest to Christ, is there anybody out there listening to this program tonight who can answer that for me? Because I don't get it. And you folks prove time and again you're smarter than I am. I don't have an answer. I'm a Democrat, and I will be until they shovel my bones into the furnace to be cremated. And even then, well, I mean, that's it. But I'm so much a Democrat. Oh, my God, I am so much a Democrat. And I guess that's why it just infuriates me to see people who want to be president of the United States, who claim to be Democrats like me, who won't step out and say, "You lying sons of bitches, how could you have done this to Bush and Cheney and the rest of these thugs?" They don't have to use the word sons of bitches. They're afraid to talk like normal human beings, okay? When you've been lied to and taken into two wars and how many of your people have been killed. No, let's use polite language. Let's not say sons of bitches. Let's talk around it. Well, now, Mike, calm down. You know your mouth's full of stitches and you're starting to flick blood all over the desk here. Oh, my God. Maybe Captain Mike, who's calling from Hollywood, has something to offer here. I haven't heard from you for a while. Hey, Captain
Mike. How are you?
I'm all right, I guess.
Well, you know me. You know, I'm a bit more toward the tinfoil hat arena.
I hear that, yeah, right.
Unfortunately, more and more of that stuff's becoming true lately.
Have you got an answer to this? Why?
Well, my thought was when this all was going down, and again, I thought this was sort of a slam dunk because that's the big false proposition is, I mean, I don't get how supposedly Bush didn't know the truth, these guys didn't know the truth, when all I did was, like, listen to and watch Scott Ritter and listen to what he said.
Yeah.
They had nothing.
Yeah, really? And the U.N. weapons inspectors and, God forgive us, the Iraqis.
Yeah.
And Valerie Plame's husband, Joe Wilson. I mean, all these people who were and people in the British government who were saying, wait a second, there's no there. I mean, I got it. You got it. How's come Howard Dean and Wesley Clark and John Kerry and these people didn't get it?
Well, we're conspiracy theorists, so we must not be, you know, credible.
I guess that's
so, it. No, but here's the thing, Mike. Here's my admitted, you know, tinfoil hat theory about that was, and this ties into the larger picture about the whole phony war on terror, peak oil, you know, the reason that we're
right,
going
right.
And grab all the oil. I mean, I think it's pretty much been established, or at least we believe it, that 9/11 was a manufactured incident.
I think so.
But PNAC, you know, Brzezinski's book, the whole shebang. So
right.
I think if you're a Democrat and you're in Congress and you've got a choice of voting on this thing or not, and if you have a clue, I mean, when you think about all the stuff that you and I, Mike, that we know,
I can only
imagine what someone like Kerry or other people know that actually probably have real legit contacts in the intelligence community or foreign sources. I mean, these guys have to know the score with 9/11.
Well, sure they do.
They're the ones that got sent anthrax.
How could they not? And yet, why is it that of these Democrats, I don't know about Carol Moseley Braun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, you know, I know what Gephardt said. Gephardt was talking about, how's come Kucinich and Sharpton have said from the get-go, there's no weapons of mass. There's nothing there. We've seen no intelligence. You know, and everybody else jumped on board. You know, what does that mean? Does that mean Kucinich and Sharpton have death wishes?
Yeah, well,
they want to get the anthrax envelope. What does that mean?
I don't know. Or maybe they just figured, you know, they're too much of a small fish to be bothered with. But my theory, now again, this is my tinfoil hat based on, and a lot of my logic with all this is if A is true, B, C, D, and E, therefore I think F.
Right, right.
I mean, F is true. I'm thinking if these guys know that, say, Bush or whoever were behind these attacks, I bet they were afraid of being snookered, meaning they were afraid of a head fake, meaning if they went and voted against, you know, the war, like they knew, all Bush and company has to do is come up with some phony terror incident that goes right back to Saddam Hussein. You know what I'm saying? Like
okay.
They would have been humiliated
right.
Or terminated, if not terminated by anthrax. They could have been terminated politically. All these guys had to do is get on a stump and say, I stand against this. This is not true. And then have some phony Saddam Hussein
right.
incident. And then these guys are toast.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll accept that. What about now? The rest of the world understands, even here at home we understand, that Bush and his cabal lied through their teeth. Now, what's stopping these Democratic candidates from now? Like I said, now. It's safe now.
Well, I think a lot of it, though, Mike, I mean, look at, the moment that Dean, you know, lost in Iowa, they kept, all the pundits kept jumping forward and saying, well, it looks like, those statements she made about Saddam Hussein came back to haunt him. And, These guys know the score, but again, the power of the media. I mean, people are talking about Iowa like it's Kerry's victory. I'm looking at, like, the negative attacks were.
Yeah.
They belittled Dean so badly.
Yeah, the power of the media is what it is, but what if they all got together, including Nancy Pelosi, including all these candidates, and said, hey, now we understand. You see what I'm saying? Hey, I can put you on hold, or... okay, let me put you on hold. We'll come back right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
If you're perfectly comfortable, gaze at your daughters and gaze at your sons. Ask yourself this question.
to our friends.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The world has waited a long time for Mr. Saddam Hussein to disarm. He'll say, I'm disarming, after he said he has no arms.
And that's the President of the United States. Can you believe it? Oh, well. Back to Captain Mike in Hollywood, California.
Yeah, well, you know, I think along the same lines, I mean, I wonder if that's something that's still in play. I mean, I think before the war, it was possible they could have been suckered into voting against it, and then, you know, the phony terror attack makes them look like idiots, or there's also the intimidation factor. I mean, I don't think that's something, you know, in this so-called tinfoil hat, you know, it's something to be considered. I mean, it's now been revealed that Cheney did actually threaten Wellstone right before the election. I don't know if you heard that.
No, I haven't.
Well, Wellstone mentioned it in a lecture to some political group in Minnesota. Cheney said there will be severe consequences for you in the state of Minnesota if you vote against this war resolution.
Uh-huh.
Now, Wellstone could have done so, and then his numbers could have, you know, he could have gotten close to Norm Coleman, or Coleman could have pulled ahead. But I think what tipped things over in him being eliminated were the fact that he voted against the war resolution. And despite what Norm Coleman tells you, he pulled away from Coleman even further. And I think that what's made them say, all right, well, yeah, we got to get rid of this guy. So, I mean, you have to imagine, Mike, if you remember, I think there's a story, and I think you might have mentioned it, about that gal in England who revealed that they had all those members of the UN bugged and wiretapped and followed that the swing votes.
Right, right.
I mean, you figure, you know, they're doing this stuff to foreign delegates and ambassadors. I don't know what makes people think that they wouldn't be doing this to the opposition. I mean, it's already come out today, yesterday, that they were, you know, they tapped into the computers there and the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that these guys have, you know, phones tapped, their email, whatever. I mean, you know, they got, you know, it could be something as simple as they, you know, some senator's got a girlfriend he doesn't want his wife to know about. I mean, these guys play hardball, so I'm not saying I have any factual proof. I don't, but I'm saying circumstantially you look into it. And along those lines, I know you've had Mike Rupert on the show.
Right.
And again, a lot of people hold him out to be like, whoa, real tinfoil hat. But the man has been...
He's been right so many times.
Yeah, he's been amazingly right. I mean, it's really interesting because I think there, if we are the opposition of the Democrats or the people that are trying to find out the truth, even amongst us truth seekers, there's a lot of dissent and who do we believe. And I know Rupert is someone that a lot of people on our side will not touch with a 10-foot pole. But again, he's right, and there's something that he wrote like 3 or 4 months ago, and you know I have my little captain's list that I send out, you know. To
hey, listen, we're flat out of time here.
Oh, but anyway, quickly, 4 months ago, when Dean was like, it looked like he was totally going to win everything.
Yeah, quick.
Rupert predicted 3 months ago, Kerry's going to be the guy.
All right, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Got a boogie. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Members of Congress and 10 ex-CIA officials are seeking a broader inquiry into the leak of an undercover officer's name, aiming to determine if U.S. national security was compromised and to discourage future leaks. In addition, a leading Democratic critic of the Justice Department investigation into the matter says the Bush administration should release details of the probe to show the public whether officials are cooperating as George W. Bush promised. Iraq's leading Shiite Muslim cleric wants Iraqi experts, and not just those from the United Nations, to conclude that early elections are not feasible before he will drop his opposition to the U.S. political blueprint for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Husseini al-Sistani also is adamant that the U.S.-led occupation must meet a July 1st deadline to hand over sovereignty to an Iraqi government, according to his aide. If the UN and Iraqi experts conclude elections could not be held before July 1st, al-Sistani wants them to come up with other ways to make the transitional legislature as representative of the Iraqi people as possible. The federal government moved on Thursday to shut down another company accused of importing cheaper Canadian drugs to the United States. The Texas company argued it is essentially a records processor doing nothing wrong. The FDA gave Temple-based Expedite RX 15 days to explain how it would begin complying with laws outlawing the importation of foreign drugs or face legal action. Democratic presidential contenders attacked George W. Bush's policies with gusto Thursday night in the final debate before the New Hampshire primary, each one claiming the credentials needed to lead the party back into the White House. I look forward to that fight, said Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, whose victory in this week's Iowa caucuses has vaulted him into first place in the polls in the nation's first primary state as well. In a debate far more polite than earlier encounters, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean trumpeted his record as a state budget balancer, while Joe Lieberman said Bush had recently identified him in a private conversation as the Democrat he was most worried about. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Megan Whitaker of Menasha, Wisconsin, was arrested Sunday and accused of holding up the local Q-Mart convenience store. Cops say she brandished the toy gun and forced the clerk to open the register. Identification was easy. Whitaker was a regular customer and had recently applied for a job at the store. Whitaker realized during the robbery that the clerk knew her, so she told the clerk she was her own twin sister. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What hue are you? Red is out. Red is so yesterday. Blue is in. If you're not sporting blue, you're simply not cool. Just when you thought that surely American politics could not become more trivial, more devoid of substance, more removed from anything that matters, along comes a gaggle of political consultants and fashion mavens to take us deeper into the void. The issue here is ties. Not political ties, but the ties that politicians wear around their necks. Yes, we're talking about strips of cloth, preferably silk. Perhaps you thought that a candidate's principles or character or stand on issue should be the important thing in politics, but that just shows how out of it you are. The issue is neckwear. Not very long ago, all of the power players strutted their stuff with bold red ties. Power ties, they were called, for, like a rooster's coxcomb, they supposedly conveyed to us riffraff that the wearer thereof was a man in charge and on the move. But now, red has faded, and the trend spotters have decreed that blue is the new hue of your elite male strutters. George W. has helped lead the way on this important matter. Other political figures have been wearing navy blue ties, but Bush has broken the mold and broken out in lighter, brighter hues, ranging from periwinkle to baby blue. Following his daring leadership, you now see Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Gore, Tony Blair, and so many more politicos imitating our periwinkle president in their choice of ties. Why? The consultants say that we riffraff aren't seeking boldness these days, but security. Hence, blue. A color consultant says, the human mind connects blue with elements of nature that never go away, the sky and sea. It's the color that invokes feelings of loyalty, steadfastness, constance. This is Jim Hightower saying, so forget issues, principles, and all that stuff. Just keep your eyes on the tides.
Yes, yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. Got a lot of emails in here about the why the Democrats took the position they took, the candidates, the people who are now candidates, and also about the Bin Laden hoax. First of all, let me reassure you, the folks who are just hearing the Bin Laden story, it has been totally refuted now. It started in apparently a Lebanese television station. They meant it as a joke. That's out the window. As far as the Democratic candidates, I think the consensus for most of you emailing in is, and this makes sense to me, since Bush and his group are nothing but vicious liars and killers, had these Democrats said, well, there are no weapons of mass destruction, Bush and his killers would have found some way to put just enough doubt in the American public's head by turning up something and saying, see? Oops, don't do that. So Kucinich and Al Sharpton could do it because Kucinich and Al Sharpton, I guess this is the way I'm parsing it down. I don't know. Maybe they realize that they cannot be intimidated, neither one of them. And I'm not so sure I buy into what everybody's saying about the other Democratic candidates, the fact that they didn't and haven't said anything, because I still maintain if they all said something at once, from Nancy Pelosi to Wesley Clark, if they all said something at once and said, look, you know, we made the statements we made based on the fact that this government lies. That's what I'd like to see them do, but it's not going to happen. Marcelo is calling from Santa Barbara, California. Hey, Marcelo.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You don't always have to say that, pal.
Hi. Well, I think it's polite.
Well, now, I'll always take your call.
Okay.
You know, I have to come back and say thank you for calling.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, I'm just hoping you got a lot of offers. You know, I heard your show is going down, and, you know, you and Prozac is the only thing that keeps me from waking up in the morning.
Well, I hope we'll land someplace. But, yeah, February 27th is, or sooner, is the end of this program, right?
Yeah, that's depressing. So,
but I'll have something on my website. Just keep checking MikeMalloy.com.
I always do that.
Yeah, we'll land somewhere.
Mike, you know I'm a Howard Dean supporter, even though I really love James Kucinich and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to follow the debates now. Unfortunately, everything that CNN shows is Scott Peterson and Kobe O'Brien, people that I couldn't care less.
Right,
you know?
right.
And the only network that broadcast the Dan debates. You know what network is that, right?
Which?
The Devil's Network, the Fox News Network.
Well, they did the New Hampshire thing, but when you want to see these debates, sometimes all I have to do is go to C-SPAN, go to public television.
No, they're not doing that either.
Oh, really?
I feel very guilty of watching Fox News and giving audience to those clips, but, you know, I want to watch. And then I'm watching that, Jesus' son, Jesus' baby, like you said, son Hannity.
Yeah.
Son Hannity,
and the baby yeah. Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, why do you say that, by the way?
excuse me, there's a conservative, talk show host here in Atlanta, and this is where Hannity really got his start. He's not from here, but he spent a couple, 3 years here in this market being a major market. Prior to that, he worked in little tiny markets. But the other conservative talk show host here at the time, Neil Bortz, is very jealous of Sean. He's very jealous of Rush Limbaugh. So he started calling Sean Hannity the baby Jesus. That's where it comes from.
Well, anyway, then he said that his candidate is Howard Dean, and that scares the hell out of me.
Who said his candidate was Howard Dean?
Sean Hannity.
He's
setting a way that I know he's if he wins, Bush is going to beat him, you know. So if he believes that, Jesus, we are in trouble.
No. Hannity might be saying that as a joke. Hannity's candidate is and always will be George Bush.
No, I believe you. I know that he's a total conservative.
Right.
I'm saying that the conservatives want Howard Dean to win.
I see.
Because they know George Bush will beat him. Or at least they think they will.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
That's why it freaked me out.
Right, yeah.
I know it's not necessarily true, but that's the mainstream, that's what people are saying. You know what? Ronald Reagan once said, you know, and I hate quoting Ronald Reagan because that man was a huge bastard. And he said, facts are little stupid things.
Fact.
You know what?
Yeah.
He was right on that because the American people couldn't care less for facts, you know?
That's
look,
true.
I talked to a guy who was in the military for 30 years, Mike, and he didn't know George Bush went AWOL.
Oh,
how
wow.
is that possible?
I don't know. The willful ignorance of the American public sometimes is just astonishing to me.
And it's dangerous. We are not going to hell. We are in hell. You know?
I
came from this country, and, you know, the people treated me here great.
Uh-huh.
And the government treats me here like crap. You know, it's horrible.
I know.
And it's getting worse. And I'm not going to take anymore. I can't just sit and watching this country going to hell, Mike. I have to help somehow. And maybe Kerry now is the only hope. Because if Dean can't win, someone got to win, you know. And I really hope it's not Lieberman.
I don't think it's going to be Lieberman. I don't think there's an Ice Cube's chance in hell that Lieberman is going to wind up with a Democratic Party nomination. But just keep doing what you're doing, Marcelo. You're talking about it. You're making your voice heard. You're taking an interest in it, and you're getting the facts. Just doing that, if 95%, if 85% of America, if 65% of Americans would do that, this country would not be in the shape it's in right now with these Nazis.
65% of Americans don't even vote.
I know. I understand that. That's why I use that number.
I know. It's ridiculous. Mike, thanks. I'm not going to thank you again, so have a great night.
All right. Thank you, Marcelo. I appreciate you checking in. No, it's me. I thank you people, okay? I'm just here. You know, the fact that you call in or you bring your comments, That means I say thank you, okay? Let me have that. Let me have that part of it. Again, if you're just joining us, I apologize for the sound of my voice. It hurts like hell. I had more oral surgery today, dental surgery today, decided to come in tonight because we're going to be off Monday night, be back Tuesday. So sloppy way I'm talking tonight, I do apologize. Has to do with pain and suffering, so take a little pity. Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark, got a job yet?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh, damn. All right.
Called to tell you about it. I went to a job fair here in Dallas on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I estimated roughly 3,000 people for 300 positions.
Jesus. Yeah, well, yeah.
And all the jobs were sales jobs. There really wasn't any creative jobs that I could see other than, you know, trying to make a buck. The other comment is just today, and I'm sure I don't catch all of them, announcements for another 7,500 people losing their jobs.
Well, I've been following Eastman Kodak is going to lay off thousands. Some of them are not in this country, but
right.
Who else?
Let's see. Today we had Kraft Foods. They're going to lay off 6,500.
Yeah.
Altel, which is a cellular telephone provider in the Midwest, they're laying off 600. And Drexel Heritage makes their furniture in the United States, and they're laying off 396. So it comes to, you know, roughly 7,500 people total.
Oh, my God.
Just today.
Just today, yeah.
Interesting, I found something here on DU to share with you. Somebody's done some breakdown of what Lou Gerstner made at IBM in 2002. And what do you think his salary was per minute?
Now, he's the current or former
chairman? No, he just left.
He just left.
He just retired, right? In 2002.
Now,
what do you think he made per minute?
Now, this is IBM?
IBM, right.
That has laid off thousands?
Right.
How much per minute did he make?
Right.
Well, let me get really crazy.
Just take a wild guess. Yeah, I don't expect you to get
$50 a minute.
$146 per minute.
I missed it. Bob, as a third.
Right. And now, a typical minimum wage worker makes 9 cents per minute.
Yeah.
An average worker makes 20 cents per minute.
Yeah.
The President of the United States at $400,000 a year makes $3.21 a minute.
Yeah.
So if you translate it into time and how long it would take you to work to equal his compensation, if you're a minimum wage worker, you'd have to work 1,707 years. An average worker would have to work 717 years. And even the President of the United States would have to work 91 years just to equal what Gerstner made.
You know, I
2002.
It is so obscene. That is obscenity. You know, looking at pictures of naked people is not obscene.
This is obscene.
This is obscene. This is beyond obscene. This is what causes revolutions. This is what makes people take up arms and go into the streets. When the disparity of income becomes this great, and people are hurting, and people are suffering, and 45 million people can't even afford health insurance, and you have some predator like this who makes that kind of money, it is obscene. This is the true obscenity.
And I think the corollary obscenity is just the fact that our society allows it.
Tolerates it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And if you bring it up, of course, class warfare, that's kind of what we need. We need some severe class warfare, I think. I honestly believe that. Oh, well.
Keep that extra gun for me, Mike.
No, you got to get your own, pal.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Wow. Very quickly here, Russell Mokyber, one of the few people in the crack White House press corps that makes any sense, at the press conference today, he said to Scott McClellan, Scott, the Associated Press is reporting today that a French judge is investigating a bribery scandal involving Halliburton when Dick Cheney was the CEO. And the judge, according to this AP report today, the judge has warned Cheney that he could be subject to criminal charges in France concerning this bribery scandal, which occurred in Nigeria. So the question is, Scott, if the French want to extradite the vice president to stand trial in France, will the president allow for that extradition? Scott McClellan. Didn't I just talk about people using this for election advantage? Mokyber. No. This is an AP report about a criminal investigation of Halliburton. Scott McClellan. I've heard your political commentary about it, and I think we'll move on. Wouldn't that be cool? I would love, wouldn't you love, before his heart explodes in his chest and there's little pieces of heart tissue all over inside his ribcage, wouldn't you love to see Dick Cheney on trial? Huh? I've got my little image of Dick Cheney and the Pig Man, Rush Limbaugh and Bush and Wolfowitz, all these people in the dock somewhere. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my charge?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. How is the flying monkey right in this country handling this? The Republicans, the Bush administration is practically begging the United Nations now for assistance in getting out of this horrendous military and social and civil situation that the Bush crime family has gotten us into. They are begging the UN for assistance. Now it is to settle a dispute between the United States and some of the mullahs, actually, the religious leaders in Iraq, over how to select the leaders to rule the country after our military hands over sovereignty, targeted for June 30th, even though 100,000 U.S. troops are going to stay there. You know how to do this. So, obviously, being the stupid bastards that they are, being the killers and the warmongers and destroyers of civilizations, of people, and of truth that they are, the Bush crime family doesn't have a clue. They never had a clue to begin with. You remember what the scenario was, don't you, Truth Seeker? We were going to send in 150,000 troops, and the Iraqis were going to just fall all over themselves in welcoming these troops. The children would be stringing rose petals. The women would be offering sex. The men would be bending over and saying, "Anything I can do for you, soldier?" Everything was going to be fine, right? Remember all that? They were going to sing hosannas and praise be to Bush. And we love Jesus, even though we think we're Muslim. No, we're not. We want you here, and we want Christianity, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Remember that? Just like the weapons of mass destruction. Why did so many Americans buy that? Why do so many Americans now still believe Jesus, after all this time, still believe that Saddam Hussein had something to do with the attacks on this country on September 11, 2001? We can't. Can we? I guess we can be that ignorant. But how, you know, some of you people listen to right-wing talk radio. I can't, you know, I'll commit harakiri or something. I'll throw up blood. I cannot listen to these liars, these pigs. But how are these people who slammed the UN and talked about its ineffectiveness and its useless nature, and now the Bush vermin are going to Kofi Annan and experts at the UN saying, "Oh, help us. Please help us. We really screwed up. Please help us." Have I mentioned yet tonight? Yeah, I think I have. How much I hate these people. Terry is calling, our Petaluma, California bureau chief. Hey, Terry.
Hi, Mike. I can tell you're getting real popular by how long it takes to get through to you on the phone these days.
Well, I kind of apologize for that, but...
No, that's all right. I like talking to somebody that's on drugs. What he hopped up on tonight? A leave? Is that it?
A leave.
Oh, man.
I wish to hell I had something. Of course, if I had something a little bit stronger, I wouldn't have come in here tonight. Oh, well.
I've got some thoughts on, several thoughts. In fact, I kind of update you. I think maybe one thing that I flashed on this some time ago, back when the Hans Blitz The folks were in that Scott were what's his name Ritter were traipsing around trying to find weapons.
Right.
And I thought of this and I just kind of let it go. But the other night I heard George Soros on Charlie Rose kind of confirm what I'd thought. And here's what the thinking was, and this is what he said, that it was really that Saddam Hussein had to maintain a facade of having weapons of mass destruction, because that was the only way that he could keep his own people in line, as well as his neighbors.
Well, I heard that, and I also heard that his so-called scientists or his military leaders kept feeding him lies in order to not lose their heads.
Right.
Literally.
Right. And so that, you know, that to perpetrate this facade was critical to him to maintain his power.
Hey, hold on a second, will you?
Sure.
Terry, I'll come back. I've got to take this break, and we'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
A soldier of an angry call, soldiers on foreign soil. Well, we're not here to fight your war, 'cause we know what you're fighting for. Oh, this world is not your toy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A tiny creature on the bottom of the Great Lakes is disappearing, and so are some of the fish that eat it. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have noticed that a small shrimp-like organism on the bottom of the Great Lakes has been increasingly hard to find during the past 10 years. The consequences of that decline are starting to appear among the fish that eat the little critter. The creature is known as Diporia. Tom Nalepa says some fish in the Great Lakes are getting thinner and fewer because the numbers of Diporia have gotten so low.
When they're declining down to zero, I think that you can see where it would have some impact on the fish.
Nalepa is a research biologist with the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. He says Diporia are a high-calorie, high-energy food for fish, and he says some fish are suffering as this source of energy grows more scarce. He says some commercial fishermen report that whitefish in the Great Lakes look increasingly scrawny, and he says that appears to be hurting the overall numbers of fish in some places.
Populations are going down. In Lake Ontario, where the Diporia decline is much more advanced than in other places of the Great Lakes, such as in Lake Michigan or in Lake Huron, those whitefish populations are basically crashing down to zero. There's very little recruitment of new or young ones into population. So not only are we dealing with scrawnier fish, that the fish aren't there anymore.
Nalepa and his colleagues are not sure exactly why the Diporia are disappearing. Some people suspect it's connected to the invasion of the Great Lakes by zebra mussels. Zebra mussels eat a lot of the food that Diporia feed on, and that might be the reason the native Diporia is disappearing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're talking with our Petaluma, California Bureau Chief Terry. We're talking about Saddam's facade. Now, where were we?
There's another point along that line that the thing about Saddam gassing his own people really wasn't really the case either, because, and I guess that's one of the reasons he kind of let that go, and there was never very much discussion about it, but there was a battle that went on up in that period at that time up with the Kurds and the Iranians, and there were the teams that came in after the battle was over that looked at the corpses and stuff determined that those people were gassed with cyanide. Mm-hmm. And that they knew that the Iranians were using cyanide, but that we'd never let Saddam have any cyanide. So they were probably casualties of that skirmish up there, and not necessarily murdered by Saddam.
Well, I've heard that, and yet I've also heard almost the opposite, Terry, that autopsies were performed on the tissues of some of those people, and they did find gases that we had or substances that we had supplied to Saddam and that had been converted into poisonous gas. So, you and I will never know the truth.
Right.
We'll never know.
Well, there's another aspect to this, and that I've read that that when they were trying to put together a case for going into invading Iraq, Cheney was going to the CIA and demanding that they find reasons for them to go and find documentation that
right.
substantiated and not accepting what they were saying. So they were basically manipulating whatever intelligence information they got. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Along the thing about why the press is quiet about some stuff, somebody made a point that I think it was actually in a Kucinich meeting that somebody said that the press can't really quote other press as much as they can if for example, if a senator or representative were to delve into Bush and his lack of military experience and were to quote or to make some statements about it, then the press could jump on it and quote it.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, they really can't.
Yeah, well, there have been some people of substance who have brought it up, like I mentioned earlier, Daniel Inouye, the writer, reporters for the Boston Globe, Washington Post, New Republic. I think it's a story that is just not going to be reported to the American public because media, for the most part, has become so aligned with the Bush administration.
Well, along that line of the media, the other night, I understand, I think I was at the Kucinich meeting when you mentioned something about, Kathy said you talked about the MoveOn.org 30-second ad that was
right.
banned from the Super Bowl.
Right.
I just wondered, did you give the website address to go to sign the petition against CBS?
I don't think I did. Have you got it handy?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
Go ahead. Let her rip.
It's www.moveon.org/CBS/ad.
Okay.
And the other night you also mentioned something about you were looking for a hero, and I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Mike, but you know when you're a hero yourself, like you are to me and to many of us, you have to be out there on the edge by yourself.
Well, when I said that, I started thinking, look, I learned a long time ago, hero ain't nothing but a sandwich.
But if you really want somebody as a contemporary or something, you can always look to like Amy Goodman and Ray Taliaferro.
That's an idea. That's an idea. Terry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. A moment ago, I just wrote down here, I was talking to Terry, I kind of chuckled when I said, well, Terry, you and I will never know about those dead Kurds. I didn't. That was very disrespectful to me. It hit me immediately. What the hell are you laughing when you're talking about people who were slaughtered? So I apologize for that. For those of you who caught that and sat there for a moment and went, what? That was crass. David in South Carolina sent me a link here to CNN. He says, all the states are cutting back for lack of funds, but they all have funds to fight gay marriage. And then he adds this. I was at a birthday party tonight where everyone was complaining about insurance costs, layoffs, etc. Guess what? They're still supporting Bush. This is South Carolina, where we're last in everything you're supposed to be first in, and first in everything you're supposed to be last in. Our governor is going to cut out school programs, art, music, mental health, etc. He plans to cut taxes for the wealthy when the state is broke. It came out in the paper that we've lost jobs each year for the last 3 years, the same amount of time that Republicans have controlled the government. The folks at the birthday party, though, still support Bush because, quote, he's a good Christian, end quote. David, I don't know. A good Christian, huh? Paul in Poconos, PA, writes in, Mike, a caller a few moments ago mentioned Drexel Heritage Furniture Makers laying off workers. I'm a furniture maker, have been for 20 years, and the furniture product now coming in from China can be retailed for a fourth of what I can manufacture in retail furniture. How can any American company be expected to survive under these circumstances? I wonder if the furniture in the Lincoln bedroom is going to be replaced with Walmart decor. As usual, I'm wasting a Friday evening and enjoying it listening to Mike Malloy. Hey. Donald in Augusta, Georgia, sent in this. Mike, I'm still amazed to hear that people are still wondering why the media doesn't put stories like the David Kaye story on the front of the burner. That's the one with the weapons inspector saying there never was anything there. Where have they, that would be people who question this, since 1998? The networks had hundreds of reporters and investigators hunting for a damn blue dress to prove that Clinton and Monica got it on. Now, all of a sudden, the network budgets are so stressed that they can't afford to deploy throngs of investigators and reporters to investigate the Bush White House. Well, you've seen me right before, and here I go again. This is the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Why don't you call Keith Olbermann's show and get the audio of Colin Powell's speech in Cairo, Egypt, in February 2001, where he stated that Saddam was not a threat, that sanctions had worked, that Saddam did not have any weapons of any consequence, and that he was not even a threat to his neighbors. You should play it over and over on your show until you leave the air, and with any luck, you will get a job with the new liberal network, and then you can play it there over and over again. Once again, Bush could be found standing over a dead body with a smoking gun in his hand. All Bush would have to do is say, "Clinton did it!" And the media would go to Clinton and asked him why he framed Bush for murder. Donald in Augusta. Yeah. And just to let Greg know, GC, I get all your emails here, but some of them are a little bit too pithy, P-I-T-H-Y, pithy, to say on the air, okay? And Chris used to be in Hong Kong. Where's Chris now, Kathy? Is he in Malaysia? Mike, to be fair, which separates us liberals from animals and conservatives. To be fair, I don't think that the Kodak layoffs can be laid at the feet of Bushonomics. It's all down to nobody buying film anymore. Well, there's some truth to that, right, Kathy? Every place we go, all we see are these digital cameras. So a lot of emails coming in tonight. I'm sorry I'm not getting to all of them. I do appreciate it. It's as much a part of the program as people on the air. Speaking of which, Dave is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Good. Well, regarding this weapons and mass destruction thing in Iraq, I was just on the CNN news a few minutes ago. I shouldn't watch it. It's dangerous for my mind. But
it is. But
anyway, but the CIA is sending somebody new to replace David Kaye, who quit,
yeah,
as you know.
Well, the guy they're sending has already stated, for the record, he doesn't think there's anything there.
Well, but it makes me wonder if that isn't. I heard that too, and if it isn't just a little bit of a cover story.
You think?
Oh, geez, I'm really, Mike. I'm expecting this Easter egg hunt to happen any time.
Well, you're like Captain Mike in Hollywood, and a lot of people. You're just waiting. You know these are lying bastards. You don't know if you should put on your tinfoil hat or not. But I understand. I understand.
Really, but you know, and then, but on this presidential race. Personality-wise, John Kerry is a little dry for me, but then I did a little research and found out that the guy is, in fact, and I went to three different sites to say, what is this? You know, he's a member, lifelong, like Bush and all the rest, mm-hmm, of the two, senior and junior, of Skull and Bone.
Right.
And I had no idea. And
you just found that out.
I just found that out, Mike. It was a real surprise.
See, I don't know whether to take the Skull and Bones fraternity deep dark secret thing seriously or just to write it off. I've read stuff from the SS, the Nazi SS, that used the skull head.
CIA,
yeah.
Its agents come from there. But I've kind of narrowed it down to either Dean or Clark. I like Clark, the way he handled Bob Dole the other day when Dole was really trying his best. I think he was with Wolf Blitzer or somebody on the, you know,
mm-hmm,
or Aaron Brown, I guess it was. And, you know, he really handled it well. He was being chided over his statements about supporting the war to begin with. And then the thought occurred to me, well, you know, the reason that Clark said what he did back, what, a year or two ago or something like that, around early 2002 or something. I think that he was acting, first of all, as a four-star general, and I think that you almost have to look at it from the viewpoint of what his position was and the fact that he's retired and that high in the military and having done all the things he did in Europe and so on. And how could he stand there in front of that particular Republican-type group of people and say
they're lying,
that they were lying?
Yeah.
I think that later on, though, he began to realize that, in fact, as the two people in the State Department quit and their letters of resignation showed that they quit because they couldn't stand the manipulation of evidence for war in Iraq and all that about WMDs. And I think as that whole thing unfolded, Wes Clark changed. And he, I think he's an honest man, I believe. I like his tax plan. You know, if you make $50,000 a year, unless you don't even pay taxes, with his 17-page revision that takes it down to 17 whole pages.
I like that idea, too. But you and I are mature enough to understand, we've been around long enough to know, that would never, and I don't care if Wes Clark brought it up, or if Howard Dean or Dennis Kucinich or Jesus H. Christ, it would never, ever get through the U.S. The House of Representatives, unless and possibly if we had honest Democrats, because there are some real rat bastard Democrats too, you and I both know.
Who
are just as big a scum drinkers as the Republicans. So
But I liked his plan.
I like it. I like it too.
His plan also for the handicapped. He has a better plan than the ones in place right now, because the ones in place right now is if a handicapped person, let's say in a wheelchair or whatever, goes out and gets a part-time job or is able to work in some way, they can do it, but they run the risk of losing their disability income.
SSI or?
SSDI, Social Security Disability. And I suppose in a lot of states they're SSI as well, but his plan would make it impossible for that to happen. They'd have to give over a certain amount of income, some of it back.
Well,
they would never lose that status if they were permanently disabled.
I'm going to maintain my status as a Kucinich backer, but I'm listening to these other guys too and trying to check them out as much as I can. Dave, thanks a lot.
You bet.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. And I think a lot of people are doing that. I think Dean supporters, Kucinich supporters, Kerry supporters, come on, guys and gals. We've got to have an understanding of these other Democratic candidates in case our guy doesn't make it. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm not suggesting anyone's doing this, but we can't get all pissed off this year and take our dollies and marbles and go home if our candidate doesn't make it. We simply must. Now, I'm not trying to be luxury here. That's ridiculous. Like I said earlier tonight, you people are a hell of a lot smarter than I am. I'm just saying, as people call in here and tout Wesley Clark or tout Howard Dean or Dennis Kucinich or Kerry, you know, let's listen. Let's listen to what they or Edwards. Sorry, I'm doing to Edwards what I accuse the media doing to Kucinich. I'm not going to mention Sharpton because he doesn't have a prayer, and we all know it. But that leaves and Lieberman, I can't stomach. So that leaves five of them. But we've got to stay open to this, and I think we all are in agreement. So when people call in here with their pluses about their candidate, you know, I like to hear that. We had a caller the other night who started busting up on Kerry about something, and I think I said, what's the point? You know, or maybe it wasn't Kerry. Maybe it was Clark. I don't know. As far as Kerry being part of Skull and Bones, Dave's right. That's true. Does that mean anything? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm either not that bright or I don't know. But I just encourage people to, on this program anyway, whoever your candidate is, keep talking about him. Keep supporting him. Keep doing what you're doing. Once the primary season is over, then we'll know what we have to do. And I just, again, I just hope that nobody, unless it's Lieberman. If it's Lieberman, then I'm giving myself permission to vote for, I don't know, vote for a third-party candidate. I could not handle Lieberman. But so I'm sort of contradicting myself even as I speak, right? Well, one out of five, one out of six, how many people are left? Seven. So one out of six, I think I'm there with the percentages. But keep talking about your person, okay? Coming up pretty soon in the program, Bush speaks to a conference of mayors about his foreign policy and 911 and 911 and 911 and 911. Well, you'll see what I mean.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show.
I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a Hey, with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
The Tom
Tom Hartman Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Gus writes in, Mike, I have to admit I'm awfully tired of wearing my tinfoil hat, as I'm sure most of the people who listen to your show also are. I fought a dictatorship before. I'm not afraid to fight one again. But in order to fight, we must know what we are dealing with. Why are the Democrats so timid? Why are they not challenging the Republicans' endless stream of lies? I have always thought that in a democratic country, the opposition would orgasm at an opportunity to dump that much dirt on top of their political opponent. I don't think any of us know the answer, and I don't think any of us will be able to take off our tinfoil hats and stop questioning our own sanity until we know the answer to these questions. I have a crazy suggestion. Why don't we ask them? You've interviewed Dennis Kucinich and others who are in a position to know these answers. Can you ask someone for a tinfoil hat, off-the-record explanation to these questions? We may not be able to do anything about it, but at least we'll know. Gus, I think I have tried to broach that or take that approach with people I've had on the program, politicians. And we've had a string of them on this show over the past 3 years, some of whom I inadvertently hung up on, like Gephardt or Dasho, whoever the hell it was. And I can't get a straight answer, Gus. I'm trying to think, other than Kucinich, and I haven't interviewed Dean, so it could be true with Dean. I haven't interviewed Edwards. It could be true with Edwards. I haven't interviewed Wesley Clark. So I don't know. Kucinich, of all the presidential hopefuls, Kucinich is the only one we've had on this program on the Democratic side. We had John Buchanan on, but he's the only one who just gives a straight answer that I'm aware of. Now, and who I would assume would give a straight answer to that question. I don't know if Wesley Clark could or would or Edwards or Dean or Kerry. I don't know. My experience, though, other than on this program, when I was on WLS in Chicago or WSB here in Atlanta, it's always been that with politicians, you don't quite get, at least I never have, the straight answer, the unabridged, unvarnished answer. So, okay, quick break here, and, well, actually, it's about a six-minute break. Then we'll be back. We've got these sound bites I want to play for you and your phone calls. So don't go away, okay? I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Say it with love. Say it with love.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Iraq's leading Shiite Muslim cleric wants Iraqi experts, and not just those from the United Nations, to conclude that early elections are not feasible before he will drop his opposition to the U.S. political blueprint for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Husseini al-Sistani also is adamant that the U.S.-led occupation must meet a July 1st deadline to hand over sovereignty to an Iraqi government, according to his aide. If the UN and Iraqi experts conclude elections could not be held before July 1st, al-Sistani wants them to come up with other ways to make the transitional legislature as representative of the Iraqi people as possible. Democratic presidential contenders attacked George W. Bush's policies with gusto Thursday night in the final debate before the New Hampshire primary, each one claiming the credentials needed to lead the party back into the White House. I look forward to that fight, said Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, whose victory in this week's Iowa caucuses has vaulted him into first place in the polls in the nation's first primary state as well. In a debate far more polite than earlier encounters, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean trumpeted his record as a state budget balancer, while Joe Lieberman said Bush had recently identified him in a private conversation as the Democrat he was most worried about. Senator John Edwards recounted how he defeated a Republican incumbent to win his seat in 1998, and retired General Wesley Clark strongly defended his Democratic credentials. Representative Dennis Kucinich and Al Sharpton also raided spots on the debate stage at St. Anselm College, but the stage held two less candidates due to the departure of Carol Mosley Braun and Representative Dick Gephardt. Members of Congress and 10 ex-CIA officials are seeking a broader inquiry into the leak of an undercover officer's name, aiming to determine if U.S. national security was compromised and to discourage future leaks. In addition, a leading Democratic critic of the Justice Department investigation into the matter says the Bush administration should release details of the probe to show the public whether officials are cooperating as George W. Bush promised. More IE America Radio Network news. After this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Authorities in Broward County say a teenager trying to rob a convenience store was thwarted when he tried to load the rifle with the wrong size bullets. Deputies say the 16-year-old stormed into a 7-Eleven in Dania Beach and pointed his rifle at the store clerk, but a customer tackled the teen after seeing him try to jam 40-caliber bullets into the 22-caliber rifle. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What hue are you? Red is out. Red is so yesterday. Blue is in. If you're not sporting blue, you're simply not cool. Just when you thought that surely American politics could not become more trivial, more devoid of substance, more removed from anything that matters, along comes a gaggle of political consultants and fashion mavens to take us deeper into the void. The issue here is ties. Not political ties, but the ties that politicians wear around their necks. Yes, we're talking about strips of cloth, preferably silk. Perhaps you thought that a candidate's principles or character or stand on issue should be the important thing in politics, but that just shows how out of it you are. The issue is neckwear. Not very long ago, all of the power players strutted their stuff with bold red ties. Power ties, they were called, for, like a rooster's coxcomb, they supposedly conveyed to us riffraff that the wearer thereof was a man in charge and on the move. But now, red has faded, and the trend spotters have decreed that blue is the new hue of your elite male strutters. George W. has helped lead the way on this important matter. Other political figures have been wearing navy blue ties, but Bush has broken the mold and broken out in lighter, brighter hues, ranging from periwinkle to baby blue. Following his daring leadership, you now see Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Gore, Tony Blair, and so many more politicos imitating our periwinkle president in their choice of ties. Why? The consultants say that we riffraff aren't seeking boldness these days, but security. Hence, blue. A color consultant says, the human mind connects blue with elements of nature that never go away, the sky and sea. It's the color that invokes feelings of loyalty, steadfastness, constance. This is Jim Hightower saying, so forget issues, principles, and all that stuff. Just keep your eyes on the ties.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Again, I will be off. Kathy and I will be off Monday coming. And in place of the program will be... What are we doing? Tom Hartman. One of Tom Hartman's programs will run here next Monday night, 9 to midnight Eastern Time. And if you're just joining, the reason I sound like I have a mouthful of... something is because I have a mouthful of something after more time in the with the oral surgeon today. Oh God, I hate this. Joe emailed this in. This is very good. Joe emails in. Mike, if Brit Hume and Peter Jennings were so concerned about Michael Moore's depiction of Bush as a deserter, then why was there no follow up on Fox or ABC? About what factually happened with Bush during this period. Apparently, Hume and Jennings were more interested in tearing down Clark than they were about finding out the facts about Bush. Joe, you're absolutely right. As far as I know, there was no big follow-up on the lies of Michael Moore and the fact that George W. Bush was served his country honorably in the Texas Air National Guard. Joe just knocked it out of the park with that one. Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mike. You know, I just finally got to see this thing that happened with Dean this week. I have, you know, I'm back in grad school and stuff.
Yeah, how could they say that this was an angry man? This was a guy having fun, goosing his supporters.
It was the most impassioned thing I've seen out of a politician in a long time.
Plus, he had a huge grin on his face.
Yeah, it wasn't a grimace. It wasn't that. It wasn't like he was boiling over.
No.
I'm thinking, where's the...
I know you don't need any, but here you are, Tony, proof positive of how perverted and screwed up this filthy American media is.
Yeah, but you know what, though? What's more disheartening is how quickly the layperson just laps it up. I mean, it's amazing how quickly they lap that stuff up. It is amazing to me. I saw some people that I've been talking to Dean about for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, well, I can't do it now. I mean, I'm like, why?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it on a focus group on MSNBC tonight. Same thing.
And I said to the guys, I said, okay, tell me why you can't.
Right.
Oh, well, he's too angry. I'm looking at him. I'm like, okay, what did you watch? What exactly did you watch? Did you hear what he was saying? No, they didn't have the sound. They just had him, you know, going off.
And you know what gets me? They talk about Dean being angry when he was nothing more than exuberant. You take somebody like Cheney or Rumsfeld or Wolfowitz or Bush, and they can say, you know, I think what we're going to do this afternoon, we're going to launch shock and awe on Iraq, and we're going to kill thousands upon thousands of women and children and men who have nothing to do with there's no emotion there. Is that what they want?
Yeah,
I'm going to kill thousands today.
What they want is they basically are just trying to show that whoever is up against Bush, whoever it is, it doesn't matter who it is, whoever it is, they've got too much emotion. They can't possibly trust it with the nuclear trigger. That's what they're trying to show. But Bush, being so low-key and calm, always in public, he, of course, looks like that little lost puppy dog that you just want to just, you know, take a bat to.
You know, I go to bed every night in just one of the thoughts I have before I go to sleep is that Bush has the right to order a nuclear launch, and it just
scares you silly, doesn't
it? Oh, my God.
You know, as I teach high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have, as a science teacher, I've been able to do something really wonderful. Just recently, I was able to teach my kids about nuclear weapons.
Right.
As a part of my chemistry class.
Right.
And after I was done with that, kids were like, so that's what one of those things can do. And it's like, yeah. So when the president says, well, I said to him, so when the president says something about nukes, people listen because it's a really big deal. And, you know, I think that the American public, I think, you know, I would love to see an updated version of the movie The Day After.
Right, right.
Where people could really remember just what the, because, you know, you see these things going off in, like, movies like Terminator 3 and stuff like that. You don't really understand what it does. But to see it in a human context like The Day After again, it would truly put it right back into the perspective that it should have been in.
You know, that was a very effective movie, but without getting into minds bigger than yours, there's, I think, a better movie for the nuclear thing, and you never see a bomb go off. And it came out in late 50s, I think. It's Neville Shute's book, Australian writer who wrote it, On the Beach. And it, Tony Perkins is in it. Who else? Ava Gardner's in it. Who else, Kathy? A whole list of top... Gregory Peck is in it. Fred Astaire is in it. It's called On the Beach.
On the Beach.
And if you haven't seen it, please rent it.
I'll make it a point to add that to my collection to watch.
Oh, please get it. And again, it was written by a guy named Neville Shute, who also wrote a book called In the Wet. Neville Shute's an Australian writer who... just incredible. Some of his stuff bordered on Arthur Clarke. Almost science fiction, but not quite. Mm-hmm. But On the Beach is what happens when, in the Northern Hemisphere, there's a nuclear exchange between the United States and the Soviet Union. And if ever there's a movie that will chill you and make your blood run cold, and it never shows one single scene of utter destruction. I'm telling you, get the book on the beach, please.
Will do.
and boy, it would be so good. It runs about an hour and a half. That would be such a wonderful movie to show to your kids. Of course, then they would probably fire you because all the little kids would go, oh!
Well, let me tell you, we actually did show many years ago. Now, we did show, actually, the day after as a part of our nuclear chapter. And yeah, we did get calls from parents, and we told them why, and they quickly understood, and that was it.
That was it. Well, just for you, for your own, not just cinematic edification, woo, but also because of what we're talking about, get on the beach. All right.
All right. Two more things, real quick, Mike.
Quick. Okay.
On the speech that on the debate last night, where. They come out and they ask Dean, you know, I'm a Dean man.
Right.
Why, you know, what about that middle-class tax cut? He comes out and he says, you know, did your taxes go up, property taxes go up by more than $304 and all that? What he really needs to do is come out with real numbers. You know, what is the national average? How much has property taxes gone up by? Real dollars.
Right.
How much does the average, property increase gone up by? All of this stuff. I mean, that's the kind of thing he really needs, real numbers.
Yeah,
that's what people relate to.
Right, and Dean is a smart man, as most of these people are, and most Americans are not smart, can't put two and two together real quick and come up with four. So you're absolutely right. Baby steps, no matter who it is. Dean, Kerry, Kasinich, I don't care who it is.
That's exactly what we need to do.
You've got to do it very slowly and very specifically so the average television viewer gets it.
Oh, and there's one more thing, and then I'm done.
Okay.
About the speech that Bush gave this week. I finally was able to watch that, too.
The one in where he gave a couple.
His speech about, his speech where he went out and he was talking to these people out in Pennsylvania or wherever it was. I think it was
Toledo.
Ohio.
It was Ohio, yeah.
Okay, and he was talking, you know, about putting money back into the community colleges, trying to train people for the future jobs. And he's talking about, well, we're going to give, you know, people training for the jobs that are here.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are, you know, that are here.
Yeah, we had that soundbite on this program.
And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, okay, well, that's all well, good, and fine, but what's everybody in the country going to do? Everybody in the country can't be in the medical profession.
Or work at Walmart.
Or work at Walmart.
Or do fast food.
Or do fast food. Because basically that's exactly what we're going to be left with. Mm. And I was, and when he was talking in the State of the Union address about how great the economy was turning around, and I'm sitting there thinking, people are in more personal debt than ever before, more bankruptcies every single year without an end in sight. Poverty is higher now than ever before. This No Child Left Behind thing is ripping the guts out of my school. Before you go off the air, I hope somebody picks you up. I called Sirius because I don't think they're aware of your circumstances.
Yeah, they are.
They are
because they're not just losing me, they're losing a couple of programs.
Yeah, and so they said they're going to look into something. I don't know.
All right. Well,
I hope that's true.
All right. Well, Tony, thanks. Appreciate your conversation. You have a nice evening.
Take care.
All right, sir. You too. One of the saddest things that I read today in Chicago. Associated Press reports it this way. Although they drew the attention of only a few people rushing to lunch on a frigid January afternoon, more than 500 pairs of empty army boots placed side by side Wednesday in downtown Chicago were a visible reminder of U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq. The black boots, some dusty and dirty because they had been used by soldiers, were placed on Federal Plaza in front of a poster board display that listed the name, ages, and states of all soldiers killed in the war. Michael McConnell, regional director of the American Friends Service Committee, that's the Quaker Peace and Social Justice organization that sponsored this, said these young men and women will not have died in vain if truth triumphs. Spokesman for the Bush crime family, Jim Morrell, White House spokesman, said Bush, quote, appreciates that we live in a free society where people are free to express their views. Oh, my God. That takes me right up to the edge of wanting to say or do something that would put me in prison for the rest of my life. The president appreciates a society where people can express themselves. Those are the boots of dead people. Those are the boots of people who were killed because Bush is a filthy liar.
Everyone protested, they all turned against him, said, just who do you think you are? He said, many are good, but many are evil, and I am the Avatar.
They should not protest because it is in the best interest of freedom and humankind.
With me, then blast them to hell. She came riding side saddle, shouting out orders, twirling two pistols remarkably well. When it was over, there's nothing left standing, nothing moving, nothing to say. They drove the prisoners east to the boats for their hanging from the gallows overlooking Guantanamo Bay. He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Welcome and good evening. Soon one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what?
want a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
The city, got to get away.
24 past the hour. The city. Ron writes, and Mike, do you remember during the 1988 debates, when Michael Dukakis was asked a hypothetical question about his wife being a rape victim, and they severely criticized him because he did not get agitated enough. This is in reference, of course, to the Dean thing. I thought at the time that the whole brouhaha was a tempest in a teapot, and so is the current one about Dean. But if they raise a ruckus if the Democratic candidate gets fired up, and they raise a ruckus if he doesn't, what does that tell us about how objective the media are? Have they ever criticized a Republican presidential candidate about something comparable to this? I can't think of a time when they ever did. From Ron. From Robin, Mike, our political process is and always has been dominated by lawyers. This is in reference to our question here tonight. Why don't they just come out and call these bastards liars? Robin writes, even those politicians who aren't lawyers get cozied up in the legal atmosphere of political office, and the higher the office, the more rarefied the so-called atmosphere. With that in mind, it should come as no surprise that the so-called frontrunners hesitate to call Bush a liar outright. Because lawyers and politicians torture the truth on a daily basis with an eye to plausible deniability, calling an associate a liar is nothing short of heretical, unseemly, and downright unsporting. You can see it in the present failure to call a duck as to the weapons of mass destruction. It was evident in Wesley Clark's cutesy non-denial denial of Michael Moore, as well as in Dean's I Have Warts monologue. Our highest-level politicians are patricians, no less than Cicero, Caesar, and Sulla, and they can't be seen to besmirch their dignitas by speaking plain language like all of us plebes. There's one joker in the deck. Dennis Kucinich has slipped into the country club, but he's still a Cleveland street kid. Robin. That's true. That is definitely true. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hey. Friends, Romans, countrymen. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him.
Yeah.
The evil that men do.
You left out the first part, or the second line, lend me your beers.
Oh.
Or no, I'm sorry, it's ears.
Excuse me. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
But the evil that men do lives after them.
Right.
The good is oft interred with their bones.
Right.
Oh, I tell the world. You know, there was an article in the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, on Wednesday that might kind of turn you on Clark.
Yeah, what happened?
It had to do with the various tricks that plants would show up at various discussions and what have you that the candidates have.
Mm-hmm.
And he was confronted. Let's see, it says, and Clark has been forced to explain his support the much-reviled School of the Americas on a daily basis,
right,
usually by young-looking people claiming to be college students. The U.S. Army program at Fort Benning, Georgia, trains Latin American military leaders,
right,
some of whom have gone on to commit atrocities. Well, we all know that.
Right, right, right.
Clark revamped the curriculum and now vehemently defends the school as an important avenue for teaching the importance of human rights. It's printed in the paper. I don't know if that actually happened or not. But.
Yeah, I saw something similar to that. I think it might have been Tribune, it might have been New York Times in the past couple of days. My feelings about the School of the Americas, it's been around since Clark was a little boy, is well known. My feelings, Peter Werby's feelings, your feelings, most people who have feelings about the School of the Americas. So that it bears some investigation about Clark's position on that now. Marge, I got to put you on hold. I'll come back to you right after this break. Y'all stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
But the men stood fast with their guns on their shoulders, not knowing what to do with the contradicting orders. The general said he would do his own duty, but he extended no further. The men could go as they pleased, but not a man moved. Their eyes gazed straight ahead till one by one they stepped back, and not a word was said. And the old general was left with his own words echoing in his head. He then prepared to fight. He said, I have seen the others, and I have discovered that this fight is not worth fighting. No.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A tiny creature on the bottom of the Great Lakes is disappearing, and so are some of the fish that eat it. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have noticed that a small shrimp-like organism on the bottom of the Great Lakes has been increasingly hard to find during the past 10 years. The consequences of that decline are starting to appear among the fish that eat the little critter. The creature is known as Diporia. Tom Nalepa says some fish in the Great Lakes are getting thinner and fewer because the numbers of Diporia have gotten so low.
When they're declining down to zero, I think that you can see where it would have some impact on the fish.
Nalepa is a research biologist with the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. He says Diporia are a high-calorie, high-energy food for fish, and he says some fish are suffering as this source of energy grows more scarce. He says some commercial fishermen report that whitefish in the Great Lakes look increasingly scrawny, and he says that appears to be hurting the overall numbers of fish in some places.
Populations are going down. In Lake Ontario, where the Diporia decline is much more advanced than in other places of the Great Lakes, such as in Lake Michigan or in Lake Huron, those whitefish populations are basically crashing down to zero. There's very little recruitment of new or young ones into population. So not only are we dealing with scrawnier fish, but the fish aren't there anymore.
Nalepa and his colleagues are not sure exactly why the Diporia are disappearing. Some people suspect it's connected to the invasion of the Great Lakes by zebra mussels. Zebra mussels eat a lot of the food that Diporia feed on, and that might be the reason the native Diporia is disappearing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might because it's never been used.
Might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're talking with Marge in Maryville, Indiana. Okay, Marge.
I hope this line behaves. It's been getting staticky.
Yeah, it is. I hear it. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Briefly, going back to your Limbaugh comments, it's a wonder his lawyer didn't blame the FDA, because in the last 24, 48 hours, there's reports that the FDA didn't warn doctors that regarding the addictive properties of OxyContin.
Right. Yeah, it's the FDA. It's the doctor's fault. It's always somebody else's
yeah.
fault, right.
Yeah, it's not his. But my main concern today was that the Congress passed this damn spending bill, $822 billion, in which they managed to include a few other measures besides the actual spending bill, which should have been passed last September because this is for the fiscal year 2004,
sure.
which started October 1.
Sure.
But, I mean, gee whiz, they're so conscientious in the way they do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
People aren't going to be getting paid overtime anymore. Even according to the White House, they say it's only going to be 644,000 workers, which probably means there's at least three times that many.
Or four or five.
And, you know, and they're not going to label food. It was supposed to go into effect this summer, I think.
The country of origin.
The country of origin, yeah. So they delayed that for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have school vouchers. I don't know what the hell that's got to do with the national budget, but... oh, come on, phone.
Marge?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's my...
Mm-hmm. Your made-in-China phone. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in.
You take care.
All
Have
right.
a good weekend. Hope your mouth feels better.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. I hope it does, too. Oh, God. Bush, speaking to the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Now, here's a group that really wants to hear what this moron has to say, right? There's not a city in America, a big city in America, and medium-sized and small, that isn't going down the tubes because of Bush's tax cuts for the wealthy and his refusal to be fiscally responsible and the fact that he has plunged us into trillions of dollars of debt. But over the next four sound clips I'm going to play for you, I just want you to take note of the number of times that Bush says September 11th, 2001, as he discusses homeland security and the never-ending terror wars with these mayors. Guess it's a hint of what's to come or what's going on. This is in the lead-up to the election. This is what Karl Rove has told this this stupid man. Just keep talking, George, about 9-1-1 and those terrible terrorists.
I wish I could report to you that the war on terror is over with and America is safe and secure, but I cannot. I can't tell you that in good conscience because I don't believe in it. The truth is that there's an enemy that still lurks out there.
Dick Cheney.
And we must continue to work together to protect our country. It is the most solemn duty of government is to protect American people. It's important for all of us in positions of responsibility never to forget the lessons of September the 11th, 2001.
It's amazing how his repertoire is limited to about 12 sentences and maybe 15 phrases. Have I mentioned tonight how much I loathe this guy? Here he is again.
Let me tell you about the Patriot Act right quick. We're in a new war. A different kind of war.
See?
We need to be able to share information
See?
Across jurisdictional boundaries at the federal level. Do you realize prior to September the 11th, 2001,
yeah.
the CIA could not pass information to the FBI or vice versa?
What are we on?
We're on an international manhunt.
Oh.
We have to find these people before they come and get us.
Oh
and in
God.
Order to do so, we need the best intelligence and the capacity to share that intelligence across jurisdictional boundaries. The Patriot Act is vital for our security, and Congress needs to renew it.
Listen to this stuff. Just listen to this stuff, huh? Here he compares the captured Al-Qaeda members to corporate middle managers. Kind of a weird analogy, but this is Bush. Oh, and he also mentioned September 11th.
I said in a speech the other night that two-thirds of known leaders have been captured or killed. That's a significant number when you think about where we were prior to September the 11th. We're slowly but surely demolishing them. If Al-Qaeda was a corporation... In America, you had the board of directors somewhat intact, but the operators, the middle management, retired. No longer useful. No longer a part of the problem.
That's real good, George. That's real good. Finally, on how the world is safer now that Saddam is captured. Oh, hell yes. Oh, hell yes. Does he mention 9-1-1 references in this soundbite, too?
And as you know, I made a tough decision to take out Saddam Hussein, and I did so for this reason. September the 11th made it clear that America could no longer ignore gathering threats.
Oceans
no longer protected us from harm. We just couldn't say, okay, well, there's a gathering threat. Let's just hope it goes away. I'm never going to forget the lessons of September the 11th, 2001. Now, we acted in our own for our own security. No one can say the world is not more safe with Saddam Hussein sitting in a jailhouse.
Can you believe this? I mean, I don't know why we continue. I guess because we hate him so much. I guess it's this desire to point out his asinine idiocy, his inability to articulate an idea that has more than one subject line, his inability to drift away from the 8 or 9 phrase sentences and 12 or 14 word groupings that Karl Rove pounds into his simian head. I guess that's it, the fascination with how incredibly, unbelievably obtuse this man is. I guess that's why we do it. I don't know. Mike is calling from upstate New York. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
As a matter of fact, he's our bureau chief in upstate New York. Sorry, I didn't mean to leave that off.
Hey, well thanks. here's why I was calling. Again, it's a bushy, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Supposed to be bringing all the Mexicans in because there are jobs that Americans just won't do. And this is going to sound horrible, but, you know, it's kind of late. I had a job once where my job was patient care and personal hygiene. That's right. I wiped behind for a living. I paid my rent wiping butt and mopping floors.
Right.
And my friend, I would like to know what job an American won't do. Because to be quite honest with you, if you're paying me enough, I'm doing the job.
Right.
When I talk to farmers, you know, because we got a little public market here, so I go out and I talk to the farmers. And I buy tons of produce off of these guys for, in my mind, is nothing. Because I go to the supermarket and an apple costs me $1.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the farmer's market, I get a bushel of apples for $3.
Right.
I ask the farmer what's going on here. And he says to me, well, look, I go to the store, too, and I lose my mind. I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So explain this to me. We got jobs that Americans won't do. We've got all of the high-paying jobs going overseas, and we're going to bring in the Mexican labor, basically the Mexican indentured servants, to do everything else.
And well, you just hit on it. It's not jobs Americans won't do. It's jobs Americans can't do for $3 an hour.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So you just hit on it.
Well, Mike, explain to me why I have to call into radio shows, and it seems like this is always new news to people when I ask them this question.
I don't know, except for what is one of the underlying themes to this program, and that is the willful ignorance that we display in this country. Man, woman, conservative, liberal, black, white, Jew, Gentile, it crosses every single boundary. Willful ignorance that a vast majority of the American public seems to indulge itself in.
So how do I don't know.
What do we do about it?
Well, I mean, because you got to realize. I live
Move to Canada? I don't know.
I live in Rochester, New York, and our claim to fame for years on end was that we had Eastman Kodak.
That's right.
Time when Eastman Kodak.
And I feel sorry for you guys because I understand that still 26,000 people work there tonight, next week, next month, 3 months from now. The number's going to shrink. It used to be 60,000 people.
No, it used to be 80.
80? Oh, my God.
Yeah, we used to have 60 and 82. We're down to actually around 20 now.
About 20.
And they're talking about dropping another 3. And it's funny because you hear our civic leaders around here, and what they'll say is, well, you know, it's a resilient town and things are good. And I'm sitting here like, well, I know a lot of those folks, and what they did is they all moved to Atlanta.
Well, they can. Don't forget, the city fathers in Rochester can always cut a deal with a Native American tribe and open a casino.
Oh, boy. No, that'd be a hard sell around here. Well, no, it wouldn't, because, you know, hey, the governor's in favor of more gambling. And I guess, where are we going in America? I mean, what's the next play here? You know, we've gone to gambling. You know, no social taboo there. What are we going to tax next? Prostitution, murder for hire? What's the plan here?
Well, they ought to legalize marijuana. That would increase the coffers, the money in the coffers of quite a few states, and probably the federal government, too. Mike, hang in there, pal. Keep warm.
Thanks, Mike. Good luck.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. You know, regarding what Mike said, the galling part is that Bush comes out and admits that workers aren't paid a fair or living wage in this country. We got to import cheap labor because management won't pay a living wage, and Bush has no problem with that at all. And that's the scariest part. Bush admits this rape of the working person in this country, which is implicit in his new policy, and the media do not care and do not report it. But by God, they will ask Wesley Clark what he thinks of Michael Moore's statement that Bush is a deserter. The media will provide us all sorts of information about J-Lo and Kobe Bryant and Michael Jackson and Martha Stewart. But when it comes to questions, never mind. John is calling from Herndon, Virginia. Hey, John.
Hi, Mike. I haven't listened in a while. I'm unretired, and I went to work, and I get up real early, so I can't listen to your show.
Oh, my God. Well, we haven't heard your voice, your dulcet tones for a while either. Well, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I forced myself to stay up this evening to see how things are going, and I see things are still going straight downhill.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyhow, the reason I'm calling specifically was to answer your question. I'm sure you really know the answer, why you can't get a straight answer from most politicians. And I think that the thing you read from Robin, whatever, mm-hmm. kind of touched on one of the aspects of it, the patrician class. I think there's a number of reasons why you can't ever expect most politicians to really support the voters who put them in. Number one, once they get elected, especially if they're in the House, their districts are carved up. It's a gentleman's club. There's the ruling class, there's the middle class, and there's the political class. And politicians need the vote to get in. Once they're in, all they need is a steady stream of funds from the ruling class, from the rich, to maintain their position.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is that there's kind of like a political omerta code, and once you get into this class of politician in this country, you just keep your mouth shut. You just don't say certain things that are going on behind the closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, your pork's going to get fried pretty quickly, and you're out of business. You're back to whatever you were doing before you started. And the fourth thing, and I think it's built up and it's getting worse and worse by the year since Reagan started it. But you know, some of them, except for people like Kucinich, will say, "What's the sense? As soon as you say you get the truth out, the only thing that happens is that the messenger gets attacked and the messenger pays the price.
Right.
Why should I put my neck on the line there? Nobody else is. I'm just going to play it safe. I got a safe seat here. I got a safe position. Don't rock the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, things aren't that bad anyhow.
Yeah.
Not for me anyhow. And that's all those things I think contribute to these. I'm not saying all politicians are crooks or start out that way, but they certainly migrate when you get you become a member of that class. You start behaving like that class, the requirements of that class. And I think it's as plain and simple as that.
I think there's some truth to that. I really do, Jen. I think there's some truth to that. Thanks for checking in, pal. Don't be a complete stranger.
Well, Friday nights I can probably do.
Okay. Well, we'll look for you on Friday nights.
All right, good hearing you.
All right, sir. Good hearing you. Thank you. Thanks for checking in, Jen. Nancy's calling from East Tennessee. Hey, Nancy, haven't heard from you for a while either.
No, I still listen, but I haven't called in much.
Well, here you are.
Yeah. Hi, you think Bush will figure out a way to count all of those immigrant workers on his employment rolls and say he created those jobs?
That's an interesting question. That's probably what the weasel is thinking about right now.
That's the only explanation for this. I mean, it seems like everybody's pretty much ticked off about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even his big conservative buddies. So, you know.
Yeah.
But what I called about was, you know, I think there's just no question now that Karl Rove is just, you know, managing the media for
mm-hmm.
us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
With this Dean thing that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable to me. I mean, I've seen it. Oh, by the way, while on hold and having to listen to Bush, you know, if he's on my TV, I can mute him. That was brutal.
I'm sorry.
But anyway.
The Dean tape, they just keep playing it over and over, and they keep insisting that it means something negative about his campaign.
I've seen it hundreds of times.
It's insane.
And it is just insane. It is just a media smear job. That's that's the only explanation, and we know who the media is in bed with. So
that's
there
true.
You go.
To me, he looks like a guy. He's got a big old grin on his face. He's having a good time. Tom Harkin is behind him, smiling.
He's at a pep rally.
He's at
pepping.
A pep rally.
It's okay.
He's pumping up the troops. he's putting the best face he can on a third place finish in Iowa. I thought it was just lively as hell. And you listen to the way our media is spinning it, and you'd think that the guy just went out there and said, I don't know, that God is dead or something. Yeah, that's something
exactly.
I would say, but he wouldn't. Hey, let me put you on hold a second. I'll come back to you, Nancy. We got to take a quick break here. Stay with us, y'all.
When they believe, say really what they believe, try to deny the invisible, because they think we're fools. So fool the ball. Try not to laugh. The man is laughable. Boom time for Wall Street. They want you to believe the unbelievable. They say we should accept the unacceptable.
The pious and the hip.
So hypocritical.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Welcome back to the show that you have to listen to because there are no other shows on mainstream media channels. Although I do want to talk more about me and how Bush is the second coming of God, I'll take a call or two. Okay, Bill in Kansas City. Oh, you want to compliment me? Well, let's get you on the air.
I was just calling to let everybody know that on January 19th, Sirius Live Stream 145 is switching to 143. You suck, and so does your show.
I'm not sure how that call made it through our church-going call screeners, but it won't happen again. This show's about me, right, Kenneth in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Sirius Left Stream 145 changing to 143 on January 19th is very important news, because that's where you can hear good talk radio, not the crap you're putting out.
What?
Loser.
I'm the best thing to happen to radio, and you all know that. That's right. Don't you?
Sirius Left Stream 145 is changing to 143 on January 19th. Still the best political talk radio, but just on a different channel.
Cut to a commercial and play some patriotic music. They'll be back.
No, they won't.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
He is indeed. Five before the hour. We're talking with Nancy in East Tennessee. Nancy, we got about a minute and a half left here.
Okay, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing what they have done to Dean over this non-issue.
Right.
It tells me that, you know, they have raised or will have raised $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
They have a compliant media that Karl Rove gives them their talking points every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to, I think Clark is their next target. And I go back to when Clark first announced he was running.
Right.
Do you remember the part, the clip they showed of him addressing some big Republican, I'm sure, meeting?
He talked about
how he had known Cheney and Rumsfeld,
right,
and all these guys for decades.
Right.
That they were honorable, trustworthy men and blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that put me back a little bit, but I thought, okay, I think he's probably a really decent guy. I mean, if he's the nominee, I will vote for him. But I can see now with the media,
mm-hmm,
if he got the nomination with the media and with their $200 million, we would see that clip
over and over.
Times.
I hear you, Nancy.
You know?
I do hear you. Listen, dear, we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I hope you feel better.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Oh, I've got to. It's just these damn oral surgery trips. Ah, thank you all for indulging me tonight. I probably should have stayed home, but wanted to come to work. We'll be off on Monday night, back Tuesday. Tom Hartman rebroadcasts one of Tom Hartman's programs. Will be on here Monday night in our time slot. So stay tuned or tune in or whatever. Tonight's program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Announced by our announcer is Robin Bittman. Those, what am I taking?
Advil.
They're starting to kick in again. Program engineered in Detroit by John Lucas. Thank you, John. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check out the fun and frivolity at MikeMalloy.com. And if you go to the site, look at all the good stuff in the gallery. There are films. There are audio clips. There are songs. There are, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Dancing girls and naked men. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief, and Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Thanks to all of you. I'll see you Tuesday evening. I hope, I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
I'm going straight to hell. Just like my
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want
a
to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked.